today's shiur is Masechta Gittin Daf Nun Hey. We're going to begin on Daf Nun Hey, Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Hey, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgoidoy. Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgoidoy said the following testimony, as the Rishonim explained, this Mishnah is found in Masechta Igyos. The day Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was appointed to be the Nasi, there were many halachas that were repeated in the Beis HaMedrash, which ultimately led to the compilation of Masechta Igyos, and this is one of the halachas that was stated on that day. Hey, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgoidoy, al chareshes shesiyah viyo. We have a girl who's a chareshes. We know in halacha, cheresh chareshes, a deaf mute, are considered not b'nei das, not mentally competent. Shesiyah viyo. So here, this girl has a kedusha deraisa, because a girl who's a ketana, we know the Torah gives the father the authority to marry her off. So this girl that was married off by her father and has therefore a kedusha deraisa, the halacha is she yoytze beget. If the marriage is to be terminated, chas v'shalom, a regular get is required. The regular get is required because it's a regular marriage, because it's a kedusha deraisa and a get is required. The next case is a ketana bas Yisrael. Here we're referring to a girl who's a ketana, who doesn't have a father. We know that the Rabbanan gave her mother and her brothers the authority to marry her off, but that's only Kedusha de Rabbanan, because the only one that can marry off a Ketana Midarais is a father. This girl doesn't have a father. The Ramah quotes two opinions. If a Ketana can marry herself off to the status of being able to have a Kedusha de Rabbanan, Machloik has two opinions in the Ramah. And that's this girl, Shenissus L'Koyin, that she married a Koyin. So we only have a Kedusha de Rabbanan. That the halacha is Shecheles Betruma. Even though Midaraisa, the marriage is not recognized as a marriage, she still could eat Truma, only Truma de Rabbanan. Because the marriage is only de Rabbanan. What's the difference, we've said this previously, between Truma de Rabbanan and Truma de Raisa? Midaraisa only de Goncha Tiroishcha, V'yitzarecha are obligated to take off truma. With Rabbanan, all fruits and vegetables, she could eat truma with Rabbanan. The mason, if she passes away, Baal Yarshan, her husband, is considered, even though Midaraisa, he's not really her husband, and therefore Midaraisa, he's not a Yorish. The Rabbanan, with their authority of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker, said that the husband, the Rabbanan, should be her one to inherit her. The Rishonim discuss, why can't she eat truma deraisa? She's a ketana, and a ketana doesn't have an isser or a mitzvah to do averis. So why can't she eat truma even if she's not really married midaraisa? So one pshat, the simple pshat, Taisus says that perhaps our Mishnah follows the opinion of cotton oichel nevelis. If a cotton is eating something that they're not supposed to, Bezdin mitzvah lafrisha, Bezdin has to separate her. And therefore, we can't allow her to eat truma, the rice that she's not supposed to. Other mefarshim explain that if the husband is the kohen, and the husband is receiving the truma, so when he gives the truma to his wife, who's a ketana, it's not just a situation where he's giving her, that she's eating on her own something she's not supposed to. He's actually giving it to her. So even if we'll hold that if we see a katan or ketana eating something that they're not supposed to, we don't have the obligation to separate them. We certainly are not allowed to give it to them. And this is a situation of giving it to them. Another rule that was said, al mereish hagozel, a beam that was stolen, shabonim abir that was built into the house, shiitel as dom abnei takonis hashavim. Which means as follows. The Torah tells us that if somebody steals from someone else, the Torah says, the heshiv as a gzeila shagozel. You have to return what you stole. What do you have to return? The actual item that you stole. However, here the Mishnah is teaching us that Chazal wanted to encourage people to do the right thing. So if somebody stole a beam and built it into the house, and now in order to return the beam, he has to dismantle his whole house and say, you know what? Forget the tshuva. I'm not taking apart my home. So Chazal said that even though Midaraisa, he should give the beam, it's good enough if he just gives the value of the beam. However, the Pais can make a very important halachic point. This is only regarding an object. Somebody stole an object, built it into his home. Chazal made a rule, you don't have to return the object itself, you could just return the value. But what would be the halacha? And this question comes up, unfortunately, all too often. Somebody has a property next to someone else, and he builds a home on his property, and he builds into his friend's property. And now, he could perhaps suggest the same thing our Mishnah says. The house is built. Do you want me to knock down my house? I'll pay you for the amount of land that I went into your property. There the Paiskim say to Marit discusses this. A lot of other Paiskim discuss. Certainly that's not what the Mishnah says. And then our halacha clearly is that if it requires you to take apart your house, so be it. You can't just go into someone else's property and say, you know what, I'll pay you for your property. Another halacha. Alachatas agzula. If somebody stole an animal, and now he brings that animal as a carbon chatas, as long as people are not aware that this was a stolen animal, the Yerushalmi quotes two opinions. What is the definition of something known or something not known? One opinion is that three people know about it. Another people is that 10 people know about it. Shimechaperis, it will affect the kapara, neitikra mizbeach. Says the Gemara, Omer Ava, midosa sh'Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudai, based on what Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudai taught us, Omel Edom, if somebody told Edom, Ru get se shani noisen lo. You see, this is the get that I'm about to give my wife. The chosva omelo, and then he turns around and tells them, kinsi shtar choivze, that he tells his wife, he doesn't tell her that this is a get, he tells us it's a loan document, the loch is harezim agreshes. Even though this woman is under the assumption that she's getting a loan document, she's not getting a get, since the husband actually is giving her a get, it is a get. Milay Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudai, because did Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudai teach us in our Mishnah, like be'in and data, because Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudai taught us in the Mishnah that a chareshes, who halachically we know is not a bar das, still is able to receive a get. Hachanami, here when somebody gives a wife a get, even though she doesn't understand, even though she's under the misimpression that it's not a get, lay be'in and data. However, the Rishonim make a number of qualifications. One point, a very important point, is that even though the wife, as our Mishnah, now Gemara, teach us, doesn't midaraisa, now we have the Cherim Beit Gershom, everything is different, but midaraisa doesn't have to know she's getting a get, that's only the wife. The Edom, who are crucial to the transfer of a get, have to know that the get is being, that the document that's being given is a get. If the Edom aren't aware that this is a get, the get is not a valid get. One point that the Rishonim make. But then the Rishonim ask another question. We've discussed this previously, that if someone's wife, Chas v'Sholom, is a shaita, she's deranged, she's not a woman that can be divorced. And there are a lot of issues how to deal with such a situation. That's not what we're here to talk about. So the question is, what is a shaita? A shaita is somebody that doesn't have das. What is a chereshes? Someone that doesn't have das. So the question is, why could a shaita not receive a get, and a chereshes yes receive a get? So the Rishonim answer, it's not the das factor that distinguishes a shaita from a chereshes, because our Gemara just proved that you don't have to have das. What distinguishes a chereshes from a shaita is that even though halachically a chareshes is considered someone that doesn't have das, she's still an individual that if you put a get into her hand, she knows to watch it, she knows to deal with it properly. A shaita, Nebuch doesn't have that ability. For a get to be effective, even if the woman doesn't have to have das midaraisa, she does need to be able to obtain, receive, and hold on to the get. And that's what's the difference between a shaita and a chareshes. Shita, ask the Gemara. Everything that we just said, that das is not required to receive a get, is something that's obvious. We've discussed it many times, that you could give midaraisa get to your wife, bal karcha. So what's the Gemara teaching us? Nu, answers the Gemara. Mada tema, kivin da'ama kinsi shtar chayv zeh. Since he told the wife that this is not a get, he represented that this document is a shtar chayv, not a get, maybe what he meant to say was, Bituli batli, that he's retracting, and he's not going to divorce her. And again, the Rishonim say, it doesn't mean that that the get becomes permanently disqualified, because the get is a good get. It means that this act of him giving her the get should not be considered a maisa gerushin of acting an act of divorce. Kamash Malan, that's what the Gemara is teaching us. Im isa de batle, if that were his intent, that he doesn't intend to give her a get, and then who would he say this to? La'edim hu da'amala. He would have said it to the edim, because as we just explained a moment ago, the knowledge of the edim is critical. V'hai da'ka mahachi. So teaches us the Gemara, as long as he didn't tell the edim, as long as he told the edim that this is a get, and he never told them anything else, even though when he represented what he's giving to the wife, to her he said that this is a shtar choyv, it's still considered a valid nesinas get. But now we have an obvious question. If he meant to divorce her, and that's what he told the edim, and that's what he's doing, why did he tell it's a shtar choyv when it clearly isn't? So the Gemara says, you know why your husband would do this? He's embarrassed to divorce his wife. It's not a pleasant experience. So in order to avoid any displeasure, he doesn't tell her it's a get. He tells her it's a shtar chayiv, even though it's a shtar chayiv. Even though it's a get. We learned further in the Mishnah Ketana Bas Yisrael. So there's an obvious observation that needs to be made, which is not my observation, it's the Gemara's observation, that needs to be made as we begin learning the sugya. The first thing of the Mishnah was referring to a chareshes, about a chareshes marriage being considered a valid marriage, midrabanon, requiring a get. The next thing of the Mishnah speaks about a ketana being able to eat truma, what truma she could eat when she marries someone. Now, in the halacha, a ketana and a chareshes are of the same status. They're both people that don't have das. So why does the Mishnah not stick to one case? It began speaking about a chareshes, so when it starts teaching us the dinim of when such a wife may or may not eat truma, or what truma she may eat or not eat, the Mishnah should have continued discussing a chareshes. We don't find that the Mishnah does that. The Mishnah switches and starts speaking about a ketana. So it's obvious that it's very deliberate what the Mishnah is doing. And the Gemara explains why. Says the Gemara, V'ilei chareshes lo'yachlo. Mishnah, by only speaking about a ketana, obviously holds that if a chareshes married a kohen, she may not eat truma. And the question is, why? My tama, gzeir shem yachol cheresh b'chareshes. We're concerned that let's say the husband is a cheresh and the wife is a chareshes, where the marriage is not considered a legal marriage, because neither of them is a bar das, so we're concerned that she'll eat truma. So that's why Chazal made a hard and fierce rule, a chareshes never eats truma. Ask the Gemara, and what will be if a cheresh marries a chareshes? V'leichel, isn't this a situation of cotton oichel nevelis? A cheresh is considered like a cotton, so she's eating something that's not kosher, but she's still a ketana, she's still a cheresh. Answers the Gemara, shem yachol cheresh b'pichas. You could have a situation where the husband is a cheresh, and because he's a cheresh, he cannot affect a kedushin, because he's a cheresh. His wife is a completely intelligent woman. She's a regular woman. And they're getting married. And she is not a truma. She's not legally married to this man, and therefore she's considered still a Yisraelis. She's not considered an Eishes Kohen, the wife of a Kohen. But thinking, she'll be thinking that she is, and she'll eat truma. That's why Chazal said, don't eat. Ask the Gemara, v'lecha b'truma d'rabbanan. Since when a cheresh marries a pichas, the marriage is considered a marriage midrabbanan, at least allow her, we should allow her to eat truma d'rabbanan. Answers the Gemara, you're right. The reason we're machmer is gzeir shame osi lecha b'truma d'raisa. It may come to a situation that she's going to eat truma d'raisa. So even though truma d'rabbanan, she ought to be allowed to eat, because since her marriage is recognized as d'rabbanan, she should be able to eat truma d'rabbanan. We're concerned that she won't limit herself to eating truma d'rabbanan. She'll even eat truma d'raisa. Ask the Rishonim, very obvious question. If there is such a concern, we should have the same concern when a ketana marries someone. The Mishnah taught us that when a ketana marries someone, since the Rabbanan recognized the marriage, when it wasn't a father marrying off, so truma d'rabbanan she could eat. So why don't we say truma that we should not allow to eat truma derabanan, because if we allow it to eat truma derabanan, she may come to eat truma deraisa. We don't find that Chazal made such a gzeira. Why not? So I saw two answers in the Rishonim. One answer in the Rishonim is that it seems that it was more frequent that a cheresh should marry a pikachas versus a katana marrying an adult with a ketush derabanan. So Chazal made a gzeira, something that happens more frequently, not to something that happens infrequently. But then I saw another teretz, a very simple, obvious teretz. Under normal circumstances, a chereshes is going to remain, at least certainly in the times of Chazal, a chereshes for the rest of her life. So this is a very long-term relationship. And therefore we're concerned that if she's going to eat truma derabanan, it may escalate that she'll even eat truma deraisa. A ktana, by definition, can't be a long-term relationship. Because once she's 12 years old, she's not going to be a ketana. So there's a end to this concern. Once she becomes a gedola, there's nothing to be worried about. So that's why Chazal were more concerned by a chareshes than they were by a ketana. Continues the Gemara, as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, Falamarei Shagozel Shabanu, if somebody built a beam into his home, a stolen beam, he only has to return the value, not the beam itself. Tanabon. Gozel Mareish, if somebody stole a beam, Ubana Babira, and put it into his home, Beshamay Amrim, Mekake Kol Abira Kula, he has to dismantle his home, Umachsim Mareish Labalav, in order to return the beam. Ubeisilo Amrim, Ainlay Ela Demay Mareish. He doesn't have to return the beam, it's enough that he turns the value of the beam, Shum Takonas Hashavim. As we explained in the Mishnah, Chazal wanted to encourage people to do tshuva. And this is the way they encourage them. If the person's going to have to destroy his home, it's a pretty big impediment to doing tshuva. Of course, we have to remember, as we finish learning this piece of Gemara, that this should not be construed in any way as a heter to steal. And then I'll steal and then I'll pay back. You're not allowed to steal, even if your intentions, no matter what your intentions are, gzeila is awesome. We learned in the Gemara Mishnah, Valchatis Gezula. If somebody stole an animal, under what circumstances may or may he not use that animal as a carbon? Omer Ula. So Ula's opinion is the following. Dva Taira, Midaraisa, Bein Noida, Bein Loi Noida. Whether the person is aware, whether we're aware or not aware, Enim Chaperis. The carbon should really not work. Why? Mai Tama, Yish Kedilai Kanam. And this is a very important concept. There's a concept, we'll work with this concept in Mitzvah Shem, of Yiyush. And the simple pshat in the Gemara is that according to Ula, if the owner of an object was Miyash, he gave up hope of getting the item back, that doesn't create a situation that it becomes the Gazlan's item. So even though in our Mishnah, the person who stole the animal, the owner of the animal, gave up hope of getting the animal back, doesn't change the fact that it's not his animal. And if it's not your animal, you can't bring it as a carbon. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw, the Machlok is showing him how to learn the Gemara. Another pshat is that Ula could indeed hold under normal circumstances that Yiyush alone transfers the stolen object into being the possession of the Gazlans. However, here we're dealing with the issue of being able to use this animal as a carbon. To use it for a carbon, Yish alone doesn't make it mine that I could use it as a carbon. And the third shot that Tosfos suggests is that this is a situation of mitzvah baba avera. Somebody stole an animal, and now he wants to take that animal and use it as a carbon. It's mitzvah baba avera, and that's why Ula does not condone it. Ask the Gemara. Umatam amru. So now we need to understand our Mishnah. If this animal is not the Gazlan's animal, why does our Mishnah say, Loi Noida, if the public is not aware that this is a stolen animal, Mechaperis, it does work. Why? It's not my animal. How could it affect the Kapara? It says, the Gemara Shlo Yekanim Etzevim, which means as follows, the way most Rishonim explain. The Kayin, you brought a Karban Chatas. Karban, the Kayin brings the Karban Chatas and eats it. And then it turns out that it was invalid, because it wasn't the person who brought. He'll be very upset that he ate a carbon that was brought improperly. There was chulin bazara. In order to avoid that, because and then the Kohanim are not going to want to bring kabbonis if that's what happens. So to avoid that, Chazal said that if loy noida, it works. How does it work again with a hefker bezdin hefker? Chazal trans, even though it's not really the gazlins, Chazal says it becomes the gazlins. So Mefarshim asked a very obvious question. What's the reason the Kohanim are upset? The Kohanim are upset because they ended up eating something that they weren't supposed to. Why is that what they're upset about? Why don't we say that they're upset that they brought a carbon that they weren't supposed to? It's not really this person's carbon, so it's chulin bazara. We don't find that that's what makes the Kohanim upset. What makes the Kohanim upset is that they're going to eat something they should not have eaten. So I saw a few answers. One answer is, that in general, macholos asuris, eating something that you're not supposed to eat, is an area that people are particularly concerned about. Here the kohen, because and the explanation is as follows: the kohen didn't do anything wrong. Somebody came, brought an animal, brings a carbon. So what? How should the kohen know that this was a stolen animal and that it wasn't that person's animal? So he didn't do anything wrong. So he really didn't do anything wrong in eating something that he wasn't supposed to either. But macholos asuris have a negative effect on a person, even if he wasn't aware that if you eat something not kosher, even if you didn't know that's not kosher, it still has a negative effect. It's more of an issue. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw was a fairly simple pshat. A carbon, how many kahanim actually are involved in that krov of the carbon? One kohen, two kahanim. How many people actually do that krov as carbon? However, when it comes to eating the carbon, especially karmichatas, they can only be eaten l'yoyim v'layla. You have to eat it up in a day. So all the kahanim participate. So the bringing the carbon only affects one or two individuals. The eating affects a lot of people. That's why it is more of a concern. So I saw a very nice part. Here the Gemara is concerned that the kahanim should not be upset. Why are we so concerned more that kahanim should not be upset over anyone else? So I saw chesidah shavart. The Chassidish Sfarim say that the Torah is very strict in telling the Kohanim, "Yayin v'sheicha al teish b'vayachem al kodesh." A Kohen is not allowed to drink any wine, any liquor. Why? Why a Kohen more than anyone else? Because why does a person drink wine? He wants to feel good. That's why he drinks alcoholic beverages. A Kohen is supposed to have his own inner simcha, not depending on wine, not depending on liquor. He should be a happy person. That's part of being a kohen. That's why the Gemara is so concerned. Shlo yikahanim etzevim. We don't want the kohanim ever to be depressed. Ask the Gemara. You're saying that the reason is that the kohanim could bring this carbon because we don't want them to be upset. But let's learn what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah clearly says the reason is because we're worried about the Mizbeach. This says, Ula, that's pshat in the Mishnah. Kivin the Kohanim Mitzavim, if we're going to have a situation where the Kohanim upset, Nimtza Mizbeach bottle, we'll have a situation where the Mizbeach is left empty. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says, Dva Torah Midaraisa, Bein Noida, Bein Loi Noida, Midaraisa, Yiyush itself is Kainah. Yishelf is mechaper. Therefore, if somebody stole an animal, it becomes his. And if it becomes his, he could bring it as a carbon. Mechaperis. Maitama, yish kedi koina. Because according to him, yish itself is effective. So the Mefarshim ask, if the explanation of the machlokes between Ula and Rav Yehuda evolves around yish, so the Gemara is very easily understood. Ula holds that yish doesn't affect ownership, Yehuda holds Ula that it does. But we said, if you'll recall, a couple of moments ago, a different explanation in the Machlokes. Mitzvah Abba Avera. So Ula's position is well understood. It's a Mitzvah Abba Avera. I steal an animal, now I'm going to bring it as a carbon? Very understandable. But why? How could a Yehuda disagree? It's a Mitzvah Abba Avera. So Mefarshim explained very beautifully. What is the definition of a Mitzvah Abba Avera? Definition of mitzvah baba avera is, where avera causes, or avera helps me do the mitzvah. I steal a shofar. Now use that shofar to do the mitzvah. So it's mitzvah baba aveira. But if the aveira has already been done, it's already after, and now I do it, that's not called a mitzvah baba aveira. For example, I always use this example. Let's say somebody will carry an item. Somebody needs something for dvar mitzvah, and he carries it in a reshus rabbim and Shabbos. That's not a situation of mitzvah baba aveira, because the aveira is already over. The mitzvah baba aveira is only when the aveira is still in place when I do the mitzvah. And that's machlok Ula and Yehuda. So if so, if according to Ula, if according to Yehuda, as soon as I was miyash, as soon as the owner was miyash, it becomes the gazlan. So why does the Mishnah distinguish between noida, when people are aware that this is a stolen animal, versus when they're not aware? Umatam amru noida enem chaperis shloyimru. People should say it would be very embarrassing for the mizbeach that the people be aware the mizbeach oichel nevelis. That people will say this animal that this individual stole, now he's bringing it as a carbon. Very, very embarrassing situation. Says the Gemara. According to Ula, we could understand why the Mishnah chose chatos as the example. Because a chatos, as we said earlier, is a carbon that's eaten by the Kohanim. And now we understand why Chazal said that the carbon should be considered the gazlins, because otherwise the Kohanim are eating something that they weren't supposed to, which will create a situation, as we spoke about, Shloye Kohanim at Sefim. El Rehuda. According to Rehuda, it has nothing to do that the Kohanim are upset or not upset about what they're eating. So the question is, Mai Iri Chatas, why did the Mishnah specify as the Chatas as the example to teach us this rule? Afilo Oyla Nami, says the Gemara, this is the way to understand. Lami Bayi Kama. The way to understand the Mishnah according to Yehuda is, it goes without saying. Loi mebayeh, oila, the kolal he, certainly, in a case of an oila, where there is a real concern, that if people know that this is a stolen animal, and the mizbeach, we know that carbon oil is completely burnt on the mizbeach, so it's very embarrassing that people will say that this carbon, that was a stolen animal, was brought on the mizbeach. But I would maybe suggest, Afil chatas. By carbon chatas, the only thing that's brought in the mizbeach are the chaylev and the dam. Who the solak lay l'megabim mizbeach? That's the only part that's brought in the mizbeach. So there I would suggest, perhaps, that even if people are aware that it's stolen, since it's only the chaylev and dam that's brought, it shouldn't be a problem. And they could even bring on the mizbeach an animal that was known to be stolen, Kamash Malon, that even a chatas, that only a small part of the animal is brought on the mizbeach, if people are aware that's a stolen animal, it may not be brought on the mizbeach. So Mefarshim ask a very obvious question. What's the difference if it's the whole thing or part? Geneva is Geneva. Gazela is Gazela. So Mefarshim say very beautiful teretz. Which part of the carbon chatas, as the Gemara, and really is in the words of the Gemara, which part of the carbon chatas is brought on the mizbeach? The chaylev, the fat, and the dam. Chaylev and dam are parts of the animal that we can't eat anyway. We're not allowed to eat blood. We're not allowed to eat chaylev. So maybe the Gemara is saying that people will say that this is not really maisa gzeila. You can't steal something that doesn't have any real value. And therefore, perhaps I would think that even if people are aware that this was a stolen animal, I should be able to bring it under carbon, as a carbon, kamash v'lam. If people know that we're stolen, even though the only parts that are being brought are really parts that don't have much value, the chaylev and the dam, you're not allowed to bring it, and it's not going to work. Vidach kahanim achlele, the rest, as we just said, the kahanim eat, afilachi, still, even on this insignificant part, as we just explained, gozer, Chazal said that if I stole an animal, I can't, and people are aware of it, I can't bring that animal in the mizbeach, shloyemu, because we don't want to have a situation that people say, mizbeach, oichel, gzeilus. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, a chatas agzula, shloynoid l'rabim. If it's a chatas that was an animal that was stolen, and that people are not aware of, shein chaperis, b'nei tikra mizbeach. So really what the Gemara is saying, what the Mishnah is saying is, that really it should not be effective. Why? Because it's not really the Gazlins. Come along Chazal, as I said earlier, with their authority of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker, and say it becomes the Gazlins, and it's Mechaper. Mishnah works great. Bishlam le'ula, very understandable. El Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah should have just said the opposite. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it really should always be effective. Why? Because as we explained earlier, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Yush is Kaina. Yush is makes it the Gazlins, and it should be considered his carbon. So come along Chazal and say that if everybody, whoever everybody means, is aware that this is a stolen animal, it will not affect Kapara. So the Mishnah said the opposite. The Mishnah said that really it's effective, but when they tick an oilam, when it's public knowledge, it doesn't work. So the wording in the Mishnah is difficult. El Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah should have said that if everybody was aware that this is stolen, it doesn't work. Says the Gemara, that's exactly what the Mishnah says. If people aren't aware that this is a stolen animal, mechaperes. Neither, but if people are aware that it's a stolen animal, ain't a mechaperes. Why? Because we're concerned that people should not speak badly of the Mizbeach, that the Mizbeach is eating stolen animals. Masav Rava. So asks Rava, it says in a braisa, Gonef, if somebody stole an animal, Vehigdish, and then he was Magdish, that animal. Vakach Tavach Umachar. So the halacha is like this. If you steal something, if you steal anything, when you return it, you have to pay kefil, double. The Torah speaks about a special din of Arba v'chamisha, that if you steal a shor or a seh, and you, v'tavcha, you slaughter it, or machroi, or you sell it, you have to pay Arba v'chamisha four or five times. But that din only applies when you're stealing something from another person. That doesn't apply when you steal from Hegdash. And the way to Rishonim, based on the Gemara Masechta Baba Kama explained, is because there's no Arba v'chamisha is built on top of the kefil. If there's no kefil, there's no, and there is no kefil by Hegdish, there's no Arba v'chamisha. So again, let's learn this case. Somebody stole an animal, and they, when he stole it, it was somebody else's animal. Then he was magdish that animal, v'akach tovachumacher, and then he either slaughtered it or sold it. V'sham tishlumi kefil. So since when he stole it, it was a regular animal, so he has to pay kefil. V'ainim mishalim tishlumi arba v'chamisha. But he doesn't pay arba v'chamisha, because by the time he sold it or slaughtered it, it was already hegdish. V'tana lo, and we learned in a braisa on this din, v'chutz kai gavna, if somebody brings this carbon as a carbon outside the azara, well, we know if somebody brings a carbon, offers a carbon outside the azara, there's a chiv karis. B'chutz kai gavna onish karis. He's chayv karis. Ask the Gemara, e amrit, if Ula is correct, the yish k'di loikani, that's not really the Gazlan's animal. So if it's not the Gazlan's animal, it never became hegdish. If it never became hegdish, you could only be chayv for shchut echutz if you shecht outside of the azara something which is hegdish. But this is not hegdish because I Gazlan can't be magdish it. So the question is, karis may vedetayu. Why would it be chayiv karis? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Shizbi, karis medivreim. It's medrabbanan karis. Says the Gemara, achikolei. So they laughed at what he said. Karis medivreim, is there such a concept that karis is a oynish medaraisa? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the karis. What does that mean? Amar Le Rava, gavar Rava, Amar Milsa, if a great person says something, loy techikolei. Don't ridicule it. Karis sheidvein basloi. Because Chazal say that this becomes his animal, the Torah, this is what the Mefarshim explained to Gemara, Gevaldik. Because the Torah says, Hefker bezden Hefker. And the Torah says that the person has, that even though it's not his, Chazal make it his, it becomes the degree that the Torah recognizes the authority of Chazal, that's considered completely his. And it's his, and therefore the Hegdish is a Hegdish. And if he brings up a chutz, it's considered shchut echutz. The power of Chazal. Ukma Rabbonin, Brishusei, Chazal made it his, kehecha del chayvala, that he becomes chayv koris if he brings it b'chutz. Omerova, havadi kamibayli, the following question I have. Ki ikma Rabbonin, Brishusei, Chazal said that this carbon, this animal, that the Gazlan stole, and then he was Magdish. At what point is it considered his? Mishas Geneva? Is it from the moment that he stole it? Do Chazal recognize it as his? Or Mishas Agdesha? Or from the time that he was Magdish it? Ask the Gemara, Amai Nafkamina, what do we need to know? Legizaseh Vevdeseh. the animal was stolen, the animal had wool or babies. Who do they belong? Do they belong to the Gazlan, because Chazal made it his animal? Or if it was before Hegdish, they belong to the true owner. Mai, what is the din? Hada Merova, Mistabra, it makes sense, the same as Shas Hegdesha. It doesn't become his any earlier than it has to become his, which is only the Shas Hegdish. Shlai Chayta Nisku, we don't want to see him benefiting from doing a Maisa Geneva. So we postpone it to the last possible moment. And the Mefarshim say, it's difficult to understand what Rava's Shailu was. Of course we don't want to give it to him more early than we need to. The Mefarshim say that the Gemara never meant to think that it should become his, halachically, from the Shas Geneva. What the Gemara meant to think was that after he was Magdashit, perhaps retroactively, it's considered his Mishas Geneva. The Gemara says, no, it only becomes his from the Shas Hegdash and on, not retroactive to the Shas Geneva. Says the Gemara, Aloy Hoya Sukrikin Behuda. Sukrikin are Goyim that people were scared of, and in order to get the Goyim off their case, they used to give them property. Baruge Mechama, in the time of Mechamas Titus, and the Gemara is going to explain what this means. Baruge Mechama Ve'elach, but afterwards, later in the history, Yeshba Sukrikin, this concept of Sukrikin came into effect. Ketzat, what does this mean? Lokach Mesukrikin. Somebody, a Jew, gave a property to this Sukrikin because he was scared of this Sukrikin. Lokach Mesukrikin. So I buy, and now I buy this property from Sukrikin. V'chaz v'lokach mebalabayis. But I know that the true owner is upset. So I go and I give him money also. Mech batel. Because the owner takes the money because he's happy to take it. Not that he really was happy to give it to me. On the other hand, mi balabayis, if first I bought it from the balabayis, the chaza, the lochem sukrikin, then aloch is mechakayim, it is considered a valid transaction. We know, we've discussed this many times, that all of a person's property are mortgaged to his ksuba payment. So now we have, I've said this more previously, if we were to do a title search on any property that a Jewish husband sells, we would find there's a mortgage on it. What's the mortgage? The ksuba. So let's say I'm buying a property from a Jewish husband. I don't want to buy a property with a lien on it. So what I do was, lokach min ish, I buy the property from the husband, because of a lokach min isha, and then I go on and buy the wife that she should take off a lien from this property. The loch is mechabatel. Because we assume that the wife really didn't mean to sell it. The only reason she sold it is because she didn't want to have her husband angry at her because she's ruining his business deals. On the other hand, Mene'isha, if he first bought it from the woman, so she had no reason to agree, and if she did agree, and then Chazalach Menish, Mechukayim. Zu Mishnah Rishonah, this was the first version. Bezin Shachrei Mamru, however the later Bezin said, Halakech Mene the Sukrikin, if I buy a property from Sukrikin, the way I could satisfy the owner is nice and labala revia. If I give 25% to the bailim, he should be happy because he had nothing, and that's enough. Amosai, but when is this halacha applicable? Bezmanch em biyodim likach, where the true owners don't have their own ability to buy back the property. Avo yesh ben likach, if they have the own ability to buy back, hein kaidim lechol adam, they come before anybody else. Rebbe Hoshe Bezdim and Nimnu, and then Rebbe put down a Bezdim that made the following rule. Sh'im Shas of Fnei Sukrikim Shnei Masa Chodesh. If the property was in the possession of the Sukrikim for 12 months, and the owners didn't take it back, so as Mepharshim say, the fact that they didn't take it back proves that they didn't intend to take it back, or proves that they're never going to take it back, Kol HaKodim Likach Socha. Avonos Lebal and Vid, the 25% rule always applies. Hashtem. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah made a difference between the time of Aruge Mechama after Aruge Mechama. What does that mean? We don't say that the Sukrikin owned it. Aruge Mechama, when things got better, yesh by Sukrikin. Amar Rav Yehuda, like Dona Bezdin Sukrikin. What it means to say is that at the time of Aruge Mechama, the sale that we give to the Sukrikin is considered completely theirs. And this the Gemara says. There were three stages. Originally the Goyim said, call the Laikotl, if somebody doesn't kill a Jew, lick the Luhu, that person should be killed. So then the Goyim had a very strong hand. So certainly if somebody gives a property to Sukrikin, it becomes his. Mitziyasa, Then they said, call the kotel. They said, whoever kills a Jew, lysis abazuzi, will get rewarded. Again, the goyim have a very strong domain, and therefore certainly the Supreme King becomes theirs. But then things got better. Then they said, call the kotel. Jewish blood wasn't so hefker, and if somebody kills a Jew, lick the lua. Hilkach, kamais mitzios, in the first and second stage, kiven the kotel, the goyim have this strong power, that they could just kill Jews indiscriminately. If I give my property to the Kriken, it's certainly his. But later on, where Jews were better protected, on the in the Lishko, so I say, yes, today I'm giving it to the Sekrikin. I'm scared of him. L'mocha tovana lebedina, but then I could get it back, because they were a little, they were treating Jews better. Therefore, Chazal at that point said that just because I gave a property to Sekrikin doesn't become his, and if somebody, as the Mishnah taught us, buys it from the Sekrikin, it doesn't really become his, because it really was never the Sekrikin's. Thank you.